Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I have to ask my partner permission to reach orgasm sometimes. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator, a sex blogger. I have a cat on my lap, so if you hear anything, that's what that is.
It's not a sexual euphemism. There's a literal cat on your literal lap.
Yeah. She's being polite so far. Oh, mm-hmm. She's laying down. Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Should be fine. Uh-huh. Probably.
That's not related to orgasm control at all.
Not related at all.
Hopefully,
but
yeah.
I really like orgasm control, so.
Yeah. It is interesting how sometimes when a cat sits on your lap, you
nope,
just don't ever want to
I'm not okay
move.
With wherever this is going. I just wanna start there.
Nip it in the bud. Okay, well, that's fair.
Also, I'm very sick, so I'm sorry for all of this that you're hearing.
It's okay. There's like windstorms happening in Toronto, so my windows sound like a spooky ghost haunting my bedroom. So we're just gonna have a lot of cool and gross wind and weird noises this episode.
Oh, she's purring. Sorry, y'all. Can you hear that?
This is just a sonic adventure.
Welcome we to should just start over.
Nope, we're in
this
it now.
This got out of hand.
Too late.
Oh boy, we're both a little loopy right now.
That's okay. That's what they're here for, I guess, maybe.
Probably not.
Probably here for the sex info. We'll get to that, though.
Welcome to the Dildorks. Take two.
Okay, we're talking about orgasm control today. I was actually shocked when I realized we'd never done an episode about this.
I know.
It's dear to both of our hearts.
I love it so much. I love it so much, I'm doing it to myself. That's not even how it works. Anyway, we'll get there.
It can, and yes, we will get there. I'm very interested in that. Do you want to try to offer up a definition of orgasm control?
And it's pretty much what's on the can, right? The control of someone's orgasms, it can look a lot of different ways. It can be things like forced orgasms or denying someone the right to orgasm, ruined orgasms. There's all kinds of different ways it can manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a list here, and you just said several of the items.
Great.
I had a forced orgasm, orgasm denial, edging, asking for permission, ruined orgasms. There's a lot of ways you can fuck with someone's orgasms or take control of them or give up control of your own. And as we're going to get into, like, you don't actually even need to have a partner to do that, which is pretty
Yeah.
Where did you first hear about these types of ideas? Do you have any formative memories around this stuff?
Yes. Holy shit, I do. Sometimes I like when I don't read the questions ahead of time, which is all the time.
Okay, that makes me feel great. Thanks.
No, I do. I do read them.
I know. We're professionals sometimes.
Yeah, you didn't even send them this time. I don't want to hear it.
No, don't even worry about it.
So, yes, actually, because I was thinking it had to be fan fiction, but I remember, like, a particular story that my first girlfriend and I read that was a fandom of hers and not mine. I think it was, like, Criminal Minds or some shit. But it was just this, like, elaborate DS orgasm control thing, and I was like, yes, we do that. And I was, like, playing with orgasm control with, like, my first girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
OG kinkster. Cool.
That's just always been, yeah. I didn't even realize, yeah, that is just probably one of the first kink things I played with.
It's interesting because I think I know a lot of people who are vanilla or who, like, used to be vanilla who, or used to identify as vanilla, who play with orgasm control, and it's, like, in some ways not even thought of as a kink by everyone who does it, you know? Like, it's just kind of, like, a fun game you can play. But the people I've known who are into it definitely seem to be into it in a kink way. Like, there is something that they are getting from that level of control that is very exciting to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just a really, because it really exemplifies, I think, power dynamics.
Yeah.
And really draws attention to that in this hyper-sexualized way. So it, mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense.
Yep, yep. I think it's also a very common kink. Mostly I'm saying that because, like, I'm a person who was not into orgasm control for a lot of years and seemed to encounter people constantly who were. And those are all kind of my formative memories with orgasm control, is, like, sexting with or dating people who wanted me to get permission before coming or whatever. And I always just kind of rolled my eyes. I was, because, like, my orgasms were fairly elusive and still are. And so the thought of having to pause before coming to ask a question was like, why would I do that? Like, that's just going to derail me and that's going to, like, ruin my experience. And so I would always get frustrated. And also, like, if I am not feeling submissive towards someone, I'm kind of bratty when they try to dominate me. Like, I have to be consenting to a DS dynamic for it to have any meaning to me. And I found, like, a lot of people will try to dom me because they know I'm a submissive, or they think that I might be submissive to them. And this is often one of the first tricks they try to pull, is, like, you have to ask me permission before you come. And, like, actually, I don't. And if I haven't consented to that, then no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. And I'm not going to come, so, like...
Right. So this, it put me off of this kink for a long time, because I tended to encounter it in situations that, for me, felt, like, non-consensual and shitty, and I don't think that the other person was really viewing them that way, but it is. Like, you need to pre-negotiate this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I used to do a lot of asking directly before orgasm stuff, mm-hmm. But lately it's manifesting more, and, like... historically, I think it's manifested more as just permission to, like, jerk off at all. Because mm-hmm. I also find, like, harder to control the orgasm right around, like, the imminent moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that really interesting is, like, since dating my partner, like, he has orgasm control kinks. And so if I am fucking him or thinking about him while jerking off, I need to ask permission to come. And I found it really difficult at first because, like you said, like, it's not always easy to know when it's about to happen. But since practicing that skill, I've actually seen myself get better at it. But mm-hmm. I do notice that I have more of a sense of when I'm going to come if I'm using, like, a really consistent form of stimulation, like a vibrator. Whereas if I'm using something like fingers or even, like, a partner's mouth or something, that's much more unpredictable for me. So I can't always necessarily know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely got better at it when I was doing it really regularly, too. Mm-hmm. Because you can tell, like, there is the, I can reliably come 30 seconds from now after I've had this conversation mm-hmm. point, and then there's the point of no return. And you right. just have to find that other point, feel that feeling first.
Yeah.
Because you need to get that so that you have the 30-second conversation, so that if the answer is no, you're not already at the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
It's yep. a window.
Yeah. There, science I found and it, shit. It was really hard for me to trust my partner when I first started doing this, because my fear was always that I would ask permission to come and he would say no as some kind of power play, and either I would be too far gone and I would come, or I would, like, stop short and it would, like, be bad, like, either, like, a ruined orgasm, or it would make it really hard for me to come if I tried to. And then, like, my partner actually, like, his kinks are such that he doesn't really ever say no. Like, he just wants me to ask, basically. So he always says yes. So, like, I've developed, like, a certain level of trust where, like, I feel pretty confident I'm gonna get that yes when I ask that.
Must be nice. I did not often. I eventually got the yes.
Yeah. Well, so I'm curious about that, though, because, like, I know a lot of doms who are into orgasm control from that perspective of, like, being in control of someone's orgasm. Like, they find it hot because, like, that's a lot of control and power to give someone. But, like, as someone who's played with that kink from a submissive perspective, like, what are you getting out of someone else having control over whether or not you get to come?
It's definitely just, like, a power thing, I think. Mm-hmm. As a sign of submission, I think it's almost, like, for me, almost a service thing, because it's, they're involved in me getting off now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was also, like, a distance thing, that I did it a lot with a long-distance partner. Yeah. So I think it was more, like, connection around that moment was also really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's just, like, this really heightened sense of power, and I'm in this really vulnerable position, mm-hmm. and that other person gets to make a decision.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Because you're not, like, there are very few walls up when you're right about to come. Like, there's not much else going on there.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I don't really consider myself an orgasm control kinkster, but I have definitely had situations in the past where I had a dominant partner, and maybe I was sexting with them or whatever, and I felt compelled to ask their permission, like, if I felt really submissive to them, so I guess it's in my psychology somewhere, but I also find it interesting as, like, a practical tool, because, like, when you're first getting to know a new sexual partner, you might not know what it looks like and what it sounds like when they're getting close to coming or when they are coming. And so mm-hmm. if they actually pause at a certain moment to ask you, can I come, that gives you, like, a signpost so you can figure out what those signals look like. And, like, now with my partner, like, he knows me so well that he would definitely know when I was about to come and when I was coming, like, even without that. But I think it was maybe, like, a useful building block when we first started seeing each other.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense.
Okay, I want to know about chastity. Chastity is, like, a huge kink. Like, I see it all over the clip sites, and
yeah,
I know a lot of sex workers who offer it as a service, like key holding and stuff like that. A lot of people are super into it, but you're doing chastity on yourself this month. Tell me about that.
So, yeah, about that. You're saying these things in the present tense. So, yeah, started out the month, was going to do 30 days of chastity, did not, did about 12.
Good, though. I really don't know if I could do that, and I'm not even on testosterone, so, yeah. Like...
Yeah, so I found... And it wasn't necessarily, like, this big failing in willpower. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit. Mm-hmm. But also, I found that it wasn't really serving me in the way I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. So I went into it with this intention. I'm trying to be really intentional around exploring my kink for the foreseeable future. It was kind of a 30-day thing, but I want to, like, recommit to that. And to explore it, almost like a newbie again, and, like, reassess my own submission, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And part of the reasons I was doing 30 days in chastity was, A, to explore my chastity kink, but also because I was figuring, with this heightened sex drive would come a heightened focus on all things sex and kink, and I'd be able to funnel that energy into exploring other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
What I found was, it kind of emphasized, actually, the difference between sex and kink for me, because as my sex drive heightened, I was just thinking about sex stuff, and, like, kinky sex stuff, yeah. But not, like, the more fetish-heavy DS service kind of non-sexual kink, which I found is what I was actually wanting to focus on. Even, mm-hmm. like, masochism is more non-sexual for me.
Right.
The line's blurry. Anyway.
That's so interesting, though, and makes total sense to me, because there have been times in my life when I've been really depressed such that my sex drive basically went away, but I still had a kink drive. Like, I still was craving being taken care of or being hurt or being disciplined or restrained and stuff like that. So, yeah, it makes sense to me that it would be kind of two different things.
Yeah, exactly. The other reason I went into it was I was finding I was kind of on kinky autopilot, but also, like, jerking off was kind of becoming perfunctory. Like, I did it every night the same way, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's fine, but I did not feel connected with my sexuality
yeah.
in any particular way, because I don't have a current local partner that I'm hooking up with regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So my sexuality was kind of becoming an afterthought, which is not a thing I love as a sex educator.
Yeah.
Says who'd have thunk, an important part of my life.
That's very relatable, though. I think that many of us have been there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know, how do you break out of that?
Right. So the other idea was, you know, this 30 days in chastity and see, you know, how that feels and what that does for my own sex life and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, like, I did enjoy coming back to it, and actually, like, it felt like an opportunity to explore my sexuality jerking off in a way that, like, not like, ah, I could do this whenever. Might as well just get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of reformed that from this, like, 30 days in chastity, because I was already wondering, where do I go from there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't just want to chastity forever, but how do I determine, like, breaks and that kind of thing? So what I wound up doing is putting myself in chastity during the week and not on the weekends.
So can I ask you to clarify your exact definition here? Is that yes, no genital touching, no orgasms? What is it?
For it's just solo stuff for me, first of all.
So if you had sex with a partner, you would be allowed to get off?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, depending on if I have a dynamic with that partner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But, yeah, because I don't I don't have a consistent partner, so when I have chances to hook up with people, I'm not trying to fuck with that.
Right. Makes sense.
So, and also, like, sex and masturbation are more separate for me. Like, are also pretty separate for me, too. In a way that I think they are for most people, but people don't assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just for masturbation. And the, like, big definition is no orgasms. Mostly no, like, genital touching. Like, it, you know, if, like, there were times where I would brush up against my bits or, like, touch them through my jeans for a second or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no jerking off.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I would consider masturbation.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm moving to a place where I'm still in chastity, like, for semi-prolonged periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
To get, like, this heightened sense of my sexuality and to keep it more in the forefront of my mind as this, like, conscious exploration that I'm doing. But also, I can still get off semi-regularly, because I found, yes, it had my mind on sex all the time, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, it was way overboard to the point where it was distracting and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no outlet for that, so, like, I could probably do much longer chastity if someone was my key holder.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, complain or beg for release, or, you know, they could tease me and torment me and laugh at me and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
With that level of, like, connection, I'm sure I could go a lot longer, and it would still be interesting.
Yeah.
But in this case, it just kind of was, like, frustrating with little reward.
Yeah.
The other thing is that instead of focusing on kink in the way I wanted it to, I have this new crush on this new dude, and it was just funneling all of that energy into obsessing over this new crush, which is annoying enough as it is.
Yeah.
So that kind of also got all of that energy out.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
My experience with self-imposed chastity, if you would even call it that, is mostly from my days of, like, vanilla sluttiness, hooking up with randos from Tinder, and having sort of, like, ongoing friends with benefits in some cases, because I'm fairly mono-orgasmic. Like, if I've had an orgasm within the past 24-ish hours, it's harder for me to have another one. And so what I started doing was, if I had a planned date that I thought was going to have sex in it, I would take a break for about 2 to 3 days from masturbating so that I would gain back my sensitivity from vibrators, which can cause temporary desensitization, and also would have, like, a higher orgasmic capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But I would find, like, so often I would just get frustrated with that and end up jerking off, like, the afternoon before the date. and I told my partner about this when we first started dating, and he actually, like, mandated a rule that I don't jerk off typically for about, like, a day or two before he comes to see me, because we're long distance. And it's one of those things that's so interesting where, like, I don't know if I would use the phrase soft limit, but you know how there are things in DS that, like, you hate but you'll do them, like,
yeah,
you're like willing. We just did a tickling fetish scene, and, like, I hate being tickled, but I consented to it because I knew that he would really enjoy it. So I've been thinking a lot about that distinction. But so, like, this form of, like...
Can we talk about tickling later, though?
Yeah, we can talk about tickling always, yeah. I hate it. yeah, so I'm not so much a fan of when I when I have to not jerk off, but, like, I'll do it because in this case I know that the reward is worth it for me. I think part of why it's hard for me is that, like, orgasms are really important to how I manage my mood, and also, like, with partners, they feel really important to, like, establishing and maintaining intimacy for me. Like, I know not everyone is like this, for sure, but if I go without sex with a partner for a while, I start to feel like we're drifting apart. I feel sort of destabilized in the relationship. And so when I have to do that as part of, like, a DS thing or as part of a preparation for a date thing, sometimes it makes me start to feel a little anxious and destabilized, like, in my mental health and in my relationships. And so I've noticed it's something I don't super like to do, but I still will do it in certain contexts. So we're talking about orgasm control in kind of like a pre-scene abstinence setting, or a no scene is happening, but abstinence is still happening setting. But I'm wondering if you've ever played with orgasm control as part of a scene.
Never as the focus of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. I've done it long distance as, like, a big chunk of my play. I don't know, it's weird. I don't think of my scene... Like, now thinking back, I'm like, oh, yes, those were orgasm control scenes. But, like, I'm just like, oh, that's just a thing I do when I'm having sex sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, which goes back to what you were saying about how, like, it's not always considered a kink.
Yeah.
Like, I just... doesn't then again I also think fisting is just a sex thing and people tell me I'm wrong, so
your barometer's a little skewed maybe.
Fucking no.
Yeah, when I've done it in scenes, it's mostly been of the forced orgasm variety, because I learned something about myself. I don't actually remember quite when I learned this, but I've had a number of partners who are into edging or orgasm denial. Like, they would get me very close to coming and then not let me come, like, at all during the scene. I've learned that not only do I not like that, but if I get close to coming and don't come, sometimes, like, a weird shift happens in my neurotransmitters or something where I get all of a sudden really sad. And it's happened enough times now that I don't think it's a coincidence, and to the point that I've had to, like, start telling partners that orgasm denial is a hard limit of mine, because it really, really bums me out. I can be edged a little bit, but, like, I do have to come at some point if I've gotten that level of turned on, because otherwise I get really, really sad. But forced orgasm is a lot of fun. I have struggled with that for a long time because, like, I feel like I'm fairly hard to get off. Like, you have to know the tricks, and so I would always kind of be like, well, this super confident dom-ly-dom can say that they're going to force me to get off, but, like, actually there's probably more to that than they realize. So I've tended to do it with, like, long-term partners who knew my body really well and who could, like, strap me down and blindfold me and, like, actually do the things that would get me off, but do it in a way that was, like, toppy and maybe kind of aggressive, so it felt like a power play even if they were just doing, like, gently the things that they know I like.
Top me gently.
Yes. My life. It's fun, though. It's a great place to use a wand vibrator. I mean, like, any situation is good to use a wand vibe in if you're having sex or jerking off, I think. But, yeah, they're really fun for that. They have this feeling of, like, an almost clinical, utilitarian level of power that's just, like, meant to do that job. So they're fun for those scenes.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you would recommend that someone start playing with orgasm control if they're interested in it?
I would start, honestly, with just asking permission. Like, if you're playing with a partner, just start with asking permission. Because that gives you those signposts, like you were talking about. And you have to pause maybe an extra second beforehand. And even if it's just asking permission and saying yes, It just gives you that consciousness around orgasm.
Yeah.
And if you're playing solo, something I'll do a lot is set a timer for myself and not let myself get off until the timer goes off. So I'll edge myself for that amount of time. And again, it gives me this, like, awareness of my body and how far I am on this track to orgasm, and gives me a better feel for that. I'm doing it as part of training so that dominance can have more control over orgasms with better, and I can have better control in scenes like that. Also, it's just an interesting experiment.
That's so cool,
to kind of explore your own body.
Yeah, I feel like what you're saying is basically that orgasm control could be like a practice of mindfulness almost. Like, it could get you more in touch with what your body is feeling. And I definitely have noticed that, but I've never really like articulated it as such. I definitely think I am more present in my orgasmic process since having to ask permission to come.
Yeah. And it's just like, in addition to all of the reasons mindfulness is great, which the internet will tell you, I'm sure. also, like, it's genuine, it's good for like a skill building thing as well. If you want to be able to play with higher level orgasm control stuff, those are the basic skills you need. And it's fun. And you get to say hot shit. Like, don't you dare come. Like,
yep, it's very good. And if doing orgasm control in person is daunting for you, it's also really fun to ask for permission to come via text, like if you're just jerking off and your partner is not there. My rule with my partner is that I have to ask him permission if the thing I'm thinking about while jerking off is him. So if I'm wanting to watch porn or read erotica or something that doesn't have anything to do with him, then I don't have to ask permission, which is a really nice compromise that we negotiated, because part of the thing about orgasm control that bums me out is, like, I'm fiercely independent despite being submissive, and, like, if I feel too hedged in, I can get really bratty and really sassy. And so I was like, if I'm not allowed to jerk off at all without permission, like, that's going to be an issue for me. So we negotiated this rule, which I think is a good compromise. And, like, there are definitely times when I might be too shy in person to actually get the words out. Like, am I allowed to come? Especially, like, in the early days of this relationship. So doing it via text is, like, a lot less intimidating.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that's really, really clever that you guys found that.
Yeah, it's good. Another thing I like to do to play with orgasm control solo is I'll watch a porn scene that maybe is a certain number of minutes long, and I know that there's going to be an orgasm somewhere toward the end of it. Some porn sites actually, like, put a little marking on the playback thing to show you where an ejaculation happens, which is rad. But then sometimes I'll, like, try to time my orgasm to when the person in the porn is having one, which is a really cool skill and makes me feel like a badass every time I do it right.
That is really cool.
Yeah, and then I have to sit through the entire porn up till that point. Your chastity stuff is reminding me kind of the NoFap movement. Are you familiar with these folks?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me because, like, a lot of them are sort of, like, men's rights activist, incel type of people. Like, in my estimation, not the most savory individuals. Misguided, I think. But so, like, a lot of the NoFap ideology, as far as I understand it, is that abstaining from masturbation saves up your semen or something, and causes a spike in testosterone, which is supposed to make you, I guess, like, more decisive and assertive and maybe more, like, romantically and sexually successful with other people. But
it stores up your manliness. That's what it does. It makes you extra man.
Yes. But, okay, so here's the thing I don't get about this, though, is, like, a lot of the literature given to NoFap folks says that, like, you'll be a better lover if you abstain from masturbation. And my experience with people with penises is, like, if they haven't come in quite a while, they will come, like, super quickly.
Yeah.
And the sex will not be as fulfilling for anybody involved. And so I'm confused by this. Do you have any takes on this movement?
Well, agreed on that front. I'm, like, going to visit someone who I will very likely be having sex with.
Uh-huh.
like 3 days after the end of November, and I was like, man, how am I gonna handle this? I don't, shit, do we have any backup plans in place? What do I think of incels? Well,
not incels, nofap specifically, different thing with some overlap.
Venn diagram of shit.
You would think that the incels would be profap because that's all they get, but somehow, nope.
I mean, I think so. Obviously, there's overlap, right, and somewhat overlap in intention between chastity and this nofap, whatever, and they boil down to the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I think the issue is like the motivation.
Yeah.
This whole nofap movement is more. I feel like this whole nofap movement comes from more of a like. Masturbation is a waste, and like, you know, that like self abuse, and like, you're, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That it's bad for you, and it's dirty, and only gross people do it, and pathetic losers, and whatever the fuck other myths there are.
Yeah.
And it's rooted in that, whereas chastity is more like, this is a treat. This is a nice thing that you get to do. Mm. And it comes from, for me, more of a place of joy. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I'm working towards a thing that I want rather than fighting against a thing that's bad.
Right. That makes sense. I also think, like, from my brief forays into the nofap, like, subreddits and stuff, it seems like a lot of these people who do this are, like, dissatisfied with their sex life or their romantic life. Like, either they can't get laid or they are having bad sex or not finding a partner or whatever, and so they're looking for something that they can have some level of control over while they feel very like out of control in a lot of other areas. So that definitely makes sense to me. I get that if like everything you're doing isn't working for you, that you would want to change things up and try something else and see if that would work. And like, I do think like what you're talking about, that like abstaining from masturbation or even from sex or whatever for a while could definitely teach you something about yourself. It could make you more aware of your body, more aware of your sexuality, your desires. But it's the people who kind of are like abstaining from masturbation is some kind of magic pill that is going to like solve all your issues. That's, I don't think that that is a good way of tackling it. I think that you need to do a lot of like introspection and thinking and stuff in order for that to be useful.
Yeah, and, like, also, that's not how that works.
Yeah. But if it does for you, I kind of want to hear about it. Like, I would be interested to know, like, what value you took from that. So tweet at us, at the Dildorks, if you have a story about that. One of the rare instances where I'm soliciting stories about people's genitals, but...
Fair. Yeah.
Okay, so looking to the future, what kinds of scenes would you like to do involving orgasm control?
Well, so, like, I like the idea of my submission having dominance exploring my body for their own pleasure. Mm. And I like the idea of, like experimenting on my body to see what gets me off from one angle, I think. But also, I really enjoy the idea of being conditioned to orgasm on command for someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of, you know, they like feeling me come around their dick. Mm. Or they just like watching me and they think it would be fun to be entertained or whatever. Mm-hmm. But being able to come on command as a service to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all very good. You said the phrase, come on their dick, and now I'm just
very distracted. Yeah,
I asked my sir the other day to guess what type of porn I had been watching, and his number one guess was the phrase, come on my cock. So I was like, wow, you pay attention when we have phone sex, evidently.
Another thing that I've been getting off on recently, but would almost certainly never actually do, is being conditioned or trained to only come around a certain toy or a certain dick.
Oof.
I know. Fucking terrifying, but woof.
There was a tweet I saw that was someone's fantasy about going to a gangbang where they would be blindfolded and they would get fucked by a bunch of different people, but they would only be allowed to come on their one particular partner's dick, and they would have to, like, recognize it by feeling. Oof. And I was like, that is a lot of things that I want. Oh, yes. My.
Oh, interesting. Didn't know.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Yeah, I like the conditioning piece.
Yeah, and, like, in line with that is also being conditioned to come to a certain word or phrase, which is also really cool.
You can do that with hypnosis, just saying.
You can also just do that.
Yeah,
you can. Like, you can... So, you can condition someone to come under any circumstance if you really want.
Mm-hmm.
You just associate that thing with orgasm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's a word or phrase or whatever, you say that immediately before the person orgasms and then slowly remove manual stimulation and increase the auditory, like... And your body will learn to associate that with orgasm. So, like, it can be done with any of the things.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I think a lot of people do that kind of orgasmic conditioning really more lightly than they should.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's in you for a minute. That takes a while to train, and that takes a while to untrain.
Yeah.
And, like, ugh.
Yeah, my partner is a hypnotop, and he wanted to give me an arousal trigger. He wanted to pick a spot on my body that would be visible and accessible while we were just out, like on a dinner date or whatever, that he could touch that would turn me on. But we talked a lot about that before doing it, because, like, even though he could uninstall that trigger at any time, and even though he set it up so that it would only work when he was doing it and only in appropriate situations if I was consenting and felt safe, like, it's still not a thing you want to take lightly. And we did set it up, and I really do enjoy it. I don't know if I would quite categorize it as orgasm control, because it's not orgasms, it's arousal, but it is really fun to play with that while we're out, because to anyone looking at it, it doesn't look like any kind of sexual play. It looks like he's gently touching me, and I am enjoying it. My orgasm control fantasies, I don't have a lot, because as I said, this actually isn't a big kink for me. It's usually something I do to appease dom partners, because I'm a good girl. I do enjoy when I have to, when I'm told I have to be quiet, and sometimes it plays into, like, DDLG fantasies, like our sexual connection is a taboo or has to be a secret, so I have to be quiet. This definitely requires that I'm with a partner who knows my body very well also, because the noises I make are a huge part of how I give feedback for partners about what's working. And so I have to really trust that they're going to be able to read me without noise in order to feel comfortable with this type of scene. But that is really fun for me. Another thing I really like is, so the easiest way for me to come is with, like, deep penetration coupled with clit stimulation. But if someone is only doing one or the other of those things, I might get, like, really close to coming, but it's pretty unlikely that I'll actually get there. So that's a really fun thing to play with intentionally, is, like, someone giving me only one of those for quite a long time until I'm, like, begging for the other one so that I can actually get off. That's really good. I think I'm into that because I'm very into people having a mastery of my body, and, like, that really requires someone to sort of, like, play me like a fucking orchestra. It's great.
Not a fiddle, a whole ass orchestra.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a symphony. We have a couple of listener questions. We got a bunch, but I think we answered most of them.
Listener questions are my favorite part, though.
Yeah. One person wanted to know, how would you negotiate orgasm control with someone who is poly and has other partners? Really good question.
Yeah. I like what you talked about with how with your partner, it's basically any orgasms related to him he has control over.
Yeah.
I also really like, in my poly, I like that. I like having poly where all my partners can talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of, like, multiple dominant partners negotiating my orgasms, like, amongst each other.
Yeah.
I think that could be really fun, provided everyone has good dynamics. But if they don't, like, talk to each other or have, you know, that kind of dynamic amongst each other, generally I just negotiate that the dominant partner has control over orgasms that deal with them. They don't have control over the sex I'm having with other people.
I had a partner once who had some chastity kinks, and it looked like I might be required to ask his other, like, formally ask his other partner for permission for him to not be in chastity while we were hooking up. And I was actually really uncomfortable with that because I felt that that was involving me in their DS in a way that did not feel good for me, that I had not consented to. We talked about it and they completely understood why I was uncomfortable with that. So we actually like revoked that rule for that case. But yeah, I would say like, don't do that unless you're sure that everybody involved is comfortable. Cause like, I really don't like feeling like my relationships are limited by people's other relationships. Like that's kind of why I'm in non-hierarchical polyamory.
Yeah.
Exactly. But some people would be totally cool with that. So yeah, I basically have kept it so that the rules that apply to one of my relationships only apply within that one. So if I'm doing stuff with other people, whatever is allowed. Like, you know, I negotiate those rules on a per relationship basis if I even have rules, and they don't apply to other people.
Yeah.
Although I guess if I happened to be with another partner and was thinking about my partner while jerking off with them, I would still have to ask permission. I don't know that I would ever do that though, but good to think about in advance, I guess. I also, when my partner and I were talking about the thing where, like, he wanted me to not come for a couple days before he was going to come visit me, he asked, like, what would be a reasonable time frame for that that would be unlikely to conflict with dates with other people. And I said 2 days was, like, about the max because I could always book something 3 days out from that visit. If it was more than that, then it would be trickier in terms of scheduling. But yeah, that has worked fine for us.
Yeah.
Another listener question, is there benefit to orgasm control or orgasm training for those of us who have a tricky time orgasming or for whom orgasms can be hard to get to?
Absolutely. I think we were talking about the mindfulness stuff earlier, and orgasm control teaches you about your orgasms because you have to learn to control them. So if they're elusive, you will have a better understanding of what brings them about.
Yeah. Yep, I would say with this type of person, like, it's probably best not to play with sort of, like, forced orgasm dynamics where, like, the orgasm is an assumed ending or an assumed part of the scene, because that's going to make them feel pressured to come, which can make it very, very difficult to come. But I'm a person for whom orgasm often takes a long time and can be elusive, and so I have actually, especially because I have so many anxieties about this, about taking too long or whatever, there have been times when my partner has said to me, like, don't you dare come yet, or, like, you're not allowed to come yet, when that felt so, like, affirming and comforting to me, because in my head, like, I was already stressing at this point, like, is he disappointed that I'm taking this long to come? Like, am I way too slow? And then when he said that, it became immediately clear to me that, like, oh no, he doesn't want me to come yet, so I can relax, I can enjoy this process, I don't have to be worried about that. So in a weird way, unexpectedly, like, I've found it very helpful for those anxieties.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I'm really curious to learn more about this kink. Like, I feel like I'm very much, like, at the beginning of my journey with it after being really resistant to it for years. So it was cool to talk through some of those ideas, and I feel like I have more stuff to try now.
Yeah, I'm really having fun. Like, it's another thing that I've been doing without thinking about it for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm having fun being more intentional about it. And I actually, there were a couple of things you asked me during this episode that I, like, put words to for the first time. I was like, oh, huh, I do believe that. Interesting.
Yay.
Yay.
I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together with the Dildorks, you can follow us at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, or at TheDildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us, giving us 5 stars, brings us up in the charts, makes this easier for other folks to find. If you want to support us by tossing a couple of bucks our way, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks. A couple of dollars a month gets you rad bonuses and helps us keep doing the thing.
I want to shout out our friend Kenton from Funk It Toys. He's been on the show before. He's currently taking pre-orders via Indiegogo for his new line of No Frildo dildos, which are amazingly low-cost, body-safe silicone toys. You can check out his website at funkittoys.com, or if you follow him on Twitter, funkittoys, he's been posting links to the Indiegogo. Pre-order yourself a real cute dildo for a totally reasonable price, and support a good human doing good work in the process. Would recommend. Thank you to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. All of his music is at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. By the way, if you want a tote bag with that logo on it, I do have a short link for that that I never fucking mention on this show. It's girly.click/dorktote. I love that thing. Sometimes I put my laptop in it when I'm going to the cafe to edit an episode of, you guessed it, The Dildorks, and it's a good look. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, I just like leaned back and was like, okay, let's go. Something doesn't look right on my screen. I wonder what's going on. Oh, Audacity is closed.
Can we do a countdown?
Yeah, 5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Hooray. We did it correctly.
Welcome to the Dildorks, co-starring Lightning.
Matt was doing an impression of what it would sound like if you were the one who said that every week. And it was just kind of like, welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. I'm Bex. It was just like, it was so different. It was really funny.
It was just like, yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah, that sounds about right, honestly. But like, yeah, we're here. It's fine. Everything's fine.
I have sounds to be, right. You know, like, I just forgot the word consenting. That's where I'm at in my brain today. I was like, what is that word?
A word that is like the basis of what
of a word I we say and think educators. many times a day. Jesus fuck.
Well, so what I found, the cat has decided to no longer be on the lap. We're going to do a transition moment here.
Okay. Is this a bloop or is this in the show? Only time will tell.
Either way, it's in the show, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. It's just semantics. Well, you know. And I learned that not only do I don't like that, but also, like, that sentence was grammatically problematic.
Grammatically problematic is your new band name.
I want to smoke so bad, and I'm going to wait until we're done, but...
Do it! Do it!
I don't think I should. There's going to be a weird tone shift in the middle that I'm going to edit out, so it'll just seem like I'm falling apart.
Fine.